And welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. Today is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, and we are happy that you are here with us in the house of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when Jesus heard about the death of John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish." And he said to them, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You shall not covet your neighbor's house. What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not scheme to get our neighbor's inheritance
or house or get it in any way which only appears right, but help and be of service to him in keeping it. The 10th commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not entice or force away our neighbor's wife, workers, or animals, or turn them against them, but urge them to stay and do their duty.
Those are the familiar words, which is part of our text for this morning, from the 20th chapter of Exodus. And the Lord spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or female servant, or his ox or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This is our text. In Jesus' name,
Amen.
As good Lutheran Christians, 2017 is a big year. It has been 500 years since Dr. Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the Wittenberg church door. Of course, that was kind of like the blackboard for the university. And he was posting the course outline for the winter semester of the university. A course to look at what the book of Psalms taught about the righteousness of God. During the summer break, as Martin Luther, the Old Testament professor, was reading the letter of Romans, he came across the 16th and 17th verses of the first chapter. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. An And there it was, the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God which haunted Luther as he taught Genesis and the Psalms. Luther understood the righteousness of God only that God is righteous when he punishes a sinner every time he sins and he gets just reward of punishment for that sin. Then the gospel hit him. God is righteous when he punished Jesus for the sins of the world, including my sins. So I am right with God. I am righteous with God through faith. Yeah, the gospel is the power, not the law. But ever since the Reformation, we Lutherans like to talk about law and gospel. But often it is the gospel that comes first. The Ten Commandments are the perfect example. Before God speaks one command, one you shall or you shall not, he says, I am the Lord your God. The Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. God speaks the gospel. He tells us first what he has done for us before he asks one thing of how we should respond. God created the universe, planted that beautiful garden in Eden, created all of the animals, the fish, the birds of the air, and mankind, male and female, he created them before he said one word about you shall multiply and you shall take care of this place. God's gospel power comes first. And so God acted in creation. He acted in deliverance or redemption. And he reminds the people of who he is and to whom they belong and what he has done for them. And then he says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his male servant, female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. It is only when he declares that you and I are right with him, that we are right with God, can we begin to hear what God is asking of us, commanding us, expecting of us. Oh, yeah, in the small catechism, we went through it. There are two commandments in this verse. At least that's how the Hebrews thought of it. And I know that in the Swiss Reformation, all of this numbering of the commandments was changed, but we're just going to deal with the text without discussing commandment numbering. We'll save for Bible study. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. So we do not scheme to get anything that is our neighbor's. We don't covet our neighbor's wife, his male servant, female servant, ox or donkey, so we don't try to seduce our friend's spouse or bribe the employees or offer a better diet to our neighbor's pets or livestock. Luther says that these two commandments were given to his people so his people would understand that stealing is not just by the hand or by the mouth, but with the heart's desire. They remind people who consider themselves quite virtuous that they, too, by nature, sin. Toward the end of Luther's explanation for these commandments in the Large Catechism, he offers a powerful and very important insight. All the commandments constantly accuse us of sin and reveal where we stand under the law in God's eyes. Guilty. That is what the dogmaticians love to call the first and second use of the law. Well, how do we get out from under that guilt? We go back to the point where Martin Luther was stuck. The law does tend to terrify us with its punishments. It tends to show us our sin. And no matter how we try to hide from our sins, we are sinners infected through every fiber of our lives. And the mirror of the law shows us that, and we are afraid. God is righteous when he punishes us for our sins. Guilty and afraid we should be. For then, and only then, can we run to his true righteousness, his mercy. And when we look at God's answer in Jesus, God's gospel power lifts us out of our guilt and takes all of that guilt and commutes it on to Jesus. He will bear the sentence for our sin. And God sentences Jesus in our place. And then all of the shame we feel when we fail to do the right, the guilt we sense before God for not living up even to our standards, is gone. This is God's gospel power. So what do we do now? That's that commonly called third use of the law, to serve as a guide for holy living. Whether it is do not covet or bear false witness or steal or adulterate our sexual being or murder or show disrespect or neglect preaching or condemn others with our speech, or look to anything other than God for our lives, we know how we should live, and we have God's power to do so. Look at the Bible, at either one of the listings of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 or in Deuteronomy 5, and you will see that you are free from that guilt before God. Because before he says one word of the law, he says, I am the Lord your God. God pledges himself to us as our God. And when he says, your God, he's reminding us that you are his people. Do we stand before him not guilty? Yes. You are free. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. You shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. God tells that to his people a whole chapter before he mentions you shall anything. Do those words sound awfully familiar? Haven't we heard them in the New Testament? That we are a treasured possession and a kingdom of priests? Sure, it's the same from Old Covenant to New Covenant. It's not that there's a thread there. There's a whole steel cable putting those two together. So what you hear God say to his people of old, he's saying to you right here in Grass Valley at Grace Lutheran today. We are God's treasure. We are God's go-between to the world around us. We are God's prime ambassadors in this world, and we're empowered by the gospel. Do we fear and love God so that we may help and encourage and be those go-betweens between God and this world? Oh, yes, we fear God that we do not live up to what he's asking of us to be. Important word, be. I didn't say do. But the power to be and then to be able to do is from God. Text is full of God's love. He calls us his dear children. He did everything to save us from sin, death, and the tricks of the devil. And you should see a great parallel here. The rescue from Egypt was the Old Testament type of the great deliverance in Jesus Christ. The deliverance from Egypt was the Old Testament good news or gospel for God's people, just as what Jesus did with his life, death, and resurrection and ascension is the power of God for us now. Because in the Old Testament, that rescue from Egypt was not just a physical release from slavery, it was also a release from sin to bring people to worship God, to be in a right relationship with him. And so God's people were saved. And Jesus delivered us also out of slavery, a slavery to Satan and to sin, leading us to a newness of life. And that newness, as you've heard throughout the commandments, leads us to avoid the sins of the inner being that tempts us to covet, that lures us into desire and conceives death. Are we weak? Rhetorical question. Are we struggling with covetousness? Yeah. Then Jesus has spoken those words of forgiveness. You heard them. Your pastor spoke Jesus' words to you. You are forgiven. Jesus is here. He's inviting you to his table so you will be fed as his brothers and sisters. At the conclusion of the supper, you will hear those words, "May this meal strengthen you so you can depart in peace." You will depart with the peace that you are God's treasured possession, God's family, made a holy nation before him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.